And when the gun went off, bang, I just started sprinting, trying to keep up with these Kenyans and some other these elite runners. And my friend was yelling at me, slow down, you're gonna burn yourself out. And then I tell you, at 3 miles, I was so fatigued. I was so wiped out. The poorest performance I ever gave was when I tried to run somebody else's race.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, a message from a series Pastor Wayne did some time back entitled Desperate Families. On this message, he'll share some of what housewives go through on a daily basis. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of a message entitled Desperate Housewives.
Serve God and steward money. Don't be afraid of money. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. Now watch this. When money is stewarded well, it can be used by God as an instrument for wonderful things. But if we become enamored with just the accumulation of more money, thinking that that will give us value and identity, and that's what our whole life should be lived for the gaining or the accumulating of more and more and more money, then we applaud those who gained X amount. If that's what our whole life is about, what you do is you turn money into a god called mammon. That's what the Bible calls it. So whenever you see the word mammon in the New Testament, it means that you've loved money so much that you've converted it into a god that dictates your life. In fact, let's read the scripture and see what it says. Go. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And when you start serving money, that turns into mammon. Now watch this. There are a lot of Christians that go to church, but we really serve mammon. I did. Until I began to understand. I thought, whoa, what am I doing? It is such a subtle thing that you can be a Christian your whole life, but really, really serve mammon. In two different ways. Let me give you the negative side. I remember being at a retirement party, and they had taken up this huge offering for the one that was retiring. It was a pastor, and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars came in. And when they presented this amount to him, everyone clapped, and I was thinking, whoa, that's plenty of money I get. And I was just almost jealous. And you know what? The Lord spoke so quickly to me. He said, that's greed. What you're thinking of is greed. It is just showing your greed that that person has more than you and you don't like it. And you have been caught up in the god of mammon. The other side, where because I didn't catch it right then, later on, I was serving God and doing everything, but there was something funny going on in my life. I had a difficult time to tithe. Anytime they talked about money, oh, I get mad. Oh, what is this church saying? What are they doing? And it was like, whoa. You know, it's sort of like a doctor when he touches, you know, he's trying to find out where the pain is. Does this hurt? No. What about here? No. Right over here. Oh, yeah, it hurts a little bit. So they, okay, you know, and they check it out. And it's like God is pushing. Oh, is this? No. Does this hurt over here? No. And he pushes right here. Does it hurt? Oh, we don't touch that over here. You know, it's sort of like whenever God gets close to anything about money, ooh, my ire just rises and I get upset. God was showing me how I was serving mammon. And here's how I found out. And we all do this. How often I will catch myself saying things like this. Well, if I had the money, I'd live in a house like that. Well, if I had the money, I would buy that boat. Well, if I had the money, I would send my kids here. If I had the money, I'd give more. If I had the money, I would do like more ministry. And the Lord stopped me after I was hearing myself say this. And the Lord said, stop. What do you mean? If you had the money, you would live here. If you had the money, would you live there? Oh yeah, I'd live there. What if I said, don't do that. Don't live there. Would you live there? Well, if I had the money, I would. Oh, so what dictates where you live is no longer my word, but it's whether mammon says to do it. See, what happens is after a while we say, well, if I had the money, I would do this. Instead of saying, Lord, would you want me there? Well, I'll work there because they give more money. Oh, stop. Say, wait a minute. What if God doesn't want you to work there? He'll provide what you need. Yeah, but they just pay more. Okay, so mammon is going to dictate where you work, where you live, what state you're going to live, how you're going to raise your family, if you're going to raise your family at all, how much time you're going to spend with your kid, even though you say you're a Christian. Do you understand how mammon is dictating, fashioning your future, your family, your geography, the place you live, your lifestyle, your personality, what you pursue, what you don't pursue, your career, your vocation? Everything about you is dictated by mammon. Everything. It is much more important for us to say, Lord, where do you want me to live? Lord, do you want me to give? Lord, where do you want my kids to go to school? Not just to keep up with the Joneses. Where do you want our kids to go to school? And it takes us as parents the time to get on our knees and say, Lord, where do you really want us to put our kids? Where do you want us to live? How do you want us to live? And fathers, you as a head of the home are very important in this process to make sure that we are not Christians simply by name, but Mammonites by lifestyle. Because it'll get you, it's so imperceptible and so subtle. And when you hear yourself say that, if I had the money, I'd buy the boat. Oh, really? What if you had the money? Would you buy the boat? Even if I said no? You see, if you've got the money, you still live not by what mammon dictates, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was one of the temptations in Luke 4 when the devil came to Jesus and said, hey, you got the power. Turn the stone into bread. And Jesus said, no, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, even if I have the resources or the funds or the power to do this, that does not dictate what I do and don't do. It is what God says that will dictate what I do and don't do. And so we can be people who are called Christians, but still live by mammon. Here's one thing I encourage, especially young pastors that are going into ministry and they say, well, I want to do this for God and I want to do that for God and we want to build this. If we had the money, we'd do this. If we had the money, we would do this outreach. And I say, no, the first thing is you just ask the Lord, are you supposed to do this outreach? Are you supposed to do this ministry or start this? And if it's yes, but you don't have the money, then you move that way and you believe God to provide that for you. But you better know that you know that you know that God is saying go. Because when he says go, he will provide. If he doesn't say go, the devil will provide and you'll be in disobedience to him. Now you got to maintain something that God didn't ask you to do in the first place. So you rewind the tape, and here, would you write in the next bullet? Here's what I say to them. Try to fulfill your assignment with the least dependence on money. Try to fulfill your assignment. Well, if I had more money, I could raise my kids in a nicer place. No. Try to do it with the least dependence on money. Well, what do you use? You use resourcefulness. You use creativity. You use innovation. You use entrepreneurship. You use your brain, your noggin, your time, your heart, your soul. Because if you don't use that, money is never going to substitute for that. How many times we'll send our kids to a Christian school or private school thinking that's the best thing? Well, really what we're doing is saying, I don't want to put all my time, soul, effort, entrepreneurship, innovation, heart, creativity into this. So would you do it so that I don't really delegate my kids there? I'm abdicating my kids there. And there is no school and no amount of money that will substitute for your heart and soul involved. So that's why it's so important. If they're going to some place, you make sure that it's God saying that they are to go, but not to substitute what you would give. It would be in addition to what you give. You make sure. Otherwise, mammon will tell you, okay, send them there, and they're out of your hair. And you see the weirdest kids grow up in private schools. Why? Because we've abandoned our heart and soul. We've abdicated them rather than delegating them. So don't let mammon become a god to you. Yes, steward money, but serve God. Well, what if, if I had the money, I'd live over here, or I'd do this or do that. Mm-mm. Listen to what James 4 says. Let's read it together. Go. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. Yep. I remember when Anna and I were in Hilo and the Lord spoke to our heart about moving to Honolulu. And pioneering again at 42 years old. And I thought, man, I don't know about that. There's no money. How am I going to live? There's no church. We just got to pioneer it. And then the Lord spoke to me. Don't let mammon be that which will dictate what you do or don't do. Make sure it's the word of the Lord. And so I went back to my knees again. And after about 8 months, I just knew that I knew that I knew that we were supposed to do that. And my wife said, how are we going to get the money to live? I said, I have no idea. But we just got to start all over again. We're going to raise our support. We're just going to ask people to support us for a season. And that's exactly what we did. And when we came here, I had so many offers from the mainland to go and pioneer, to take churches in the mainland. I mean, huge churches, six-figure salaries. And one pastor flew over three times because he was retiring, saying, you got to take the church I'm retiring from. We need just someone just like you and this figure of salary. But I knew that I was supposed to be here. And so I said, no, I'm going to go to Honolulu. And he said, is there a church there? I said, no, not yet, but they're there. We just have to put it together. He said, well, how are you going to live? I don't know. He said, do you know how much we're offering you? I said, yeah, that's wonderful. He said, well, I said, I'm going to go to Honolulu. He said, well, how much are they going to pay you? I said, nothing. And he looked at me like, are you nuts? And, you know, I look back now at 10 years and I look back and I think, you know, I'm so glad that mammon wasn't my God, because it would have just gone a whole different way. And I look at that and I think, God, may it be for every single one of us that we serve God and steward money. And God will provide. And I tell you, later on down the line, your heart will be so glad. Now you say, well, how do you keep your focus without getting distracted by these other kinds of things? Would you write down in the next bullet, know your assignment for this season. Know your assignment from God for this season. Every single one of you has an assignment for this season of your life. This season. It may be different for the next, but you've got an assignment this season. For some of you, moms, it's to just raise your children in the ways of the Lord. That's your whole thing. It ain't to get rich. It's not for you to become a diva. It's not for you to be Miss America. It's for you to raise your children. Husbands, it may be this time, you might be a new husband just starting a job. Your season is to be proven faithful, loyal, with excellent work ethic, punctual, and respectful. It's not for you to be the next Bill Gates. It's just stay right where you are and develop faithfulness, loyalty, work excellence, respect, punctuality, because that's the foundational core values upon which God uses to promote you. If you don't have that, you will have a hollow promotion. But if you have those based strongly in your life, everyone will want you, because those are the qualities that all employers are looking for. And it just might be that this is a season to develop those things. Stay true to that. Don't run somebody else's race. Don't look, well, he's getting this or she's getting that. Mm-mm. Let's read what the scripture says here about that kind of race that we run. Let's read it. Go. Also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Here it is. And let us run with endurance. What? The race that is. Yeah. Would you underline that? A race that is set before us. Every single one of you has a race that is set before you. Student, for you, the race this season, your assignment is to do well scholastically, to keep your faith strong on campus, and to be frugal in your budgeting. That's it. That's your assignment. If not, you will not be frugal. You'll live way above what you should have. You'll lose your faith and you'll squander your time, so you will be mediocre at best in your scholastic ability and performance. No, your assignment for this season is to be scholastically excellent, to be a people of faith and devotion on campus, and to live within a budget. That's it. Do well there. That's your assignment. Because if you don't know what your assignment is, you'll start looking for other stuff. And you'll miss the core competencies that God's going to use to build your life on. For some of you, fathers, it's to learn how to develop a work ethic that's true and honest at the same time making sure that you spend time with your son, your daughter, your little new child, and your new wife. That's it. It's not really to be another Warren Buffett right now or some millionaire. You just stay there. If God wants you to be that person, that will come. But you will have built the foundational basis so you don't sacrifice your family on the altar of mammon. What is the race that you're running right now? Be faithful to that. If you need to, write it down. And that's what I do. About every 6 months to a year, I actually take out my journal and write down the things that I believe that I need to be faithful to in this season of my life to God. And I write them down. 1, 2, 3. And that's what I put all my guns towards. The other things that I do. But if I don't do well at them, no big deal. I want to make sure I get A pluses in these, though. I don't care if I get C's and D's in these others. I want to make sure that I'm doing well here. And be careful that you don't run somebody else's race. Well, look how much he's making. Look at the car he's driving. And look where they're living. And so we start to run their race. The poorest race I ever ran in my life was when I tried to run somebody else's race. It was in KL on the Big Island. We had a 10K race, and I'd been running some marathons at that time, and I just enjoyed running in that season of my life. And this was a race where there were some pretty good runners, some Kenyans and some others in this pretty cool race. And a friend of mine and myself had been running together as running partners, and I must have been drinking too much coffee that day because I was just stoked. I was jazzed. And when the gun went off, bang, I just started sprinting, trying to keep up with these Kenyans and some other these elite runners. And my friend was yelling at me, slow down, you're going to burn yourself out. No way, man. And man, I just kept up with these guys like for like half a block. And and then I tell you, at 3 miles, I was so fatigued. I was so wiped out. I don't know what happened. My body shut down. And I hardly ever walk on a race. That's not a very long race. But I was walking. I couldn't breathe. And then my friend started catching up with me, like the tortoise and the hare, you know? And I turned around and saw him coming, and I tried to run. I couldn't run at all. I just kept walking. Then he kept coming up to me. He said, I told you. I said, shut up. It was the worst race of my life. Now listen carefully. The poorest performance I ever gave was when I tried to run somebody else's race. Can I say that again? The poorest performance I ever gave was when I tried to run somebody else's race. Husbands, listen. For you, the race might be, you've been married 20, 30 years. Your race right now is to love your wife, to love your husband, even though there's going to be someone younger, prettier, more attractive. Always be out there, always. But your race is to fall. Here's the secret of marriage. Falling in love again and again and always with the same person. That's your race. You need to know what your race is. And when you focus in on it, then you will win at life. And we won't turn in to desperate families filled with desperate housewives. So the second is understand the area of money. Now, let's talk about men, finally. Men, let me just encourage you. Let me challenge you. Can I do that? You need to be challenged. Here it is. Men, we've got a church filled with the most beautiful young ladies and moms, single moms, even grandmothers, because there's a beauty of the radiance from within that God is building. But there's going to be times where God is going to bring weak or rehabilitating or people that are recuperating, ladies that are frail and fragile and susceptible due to past domestic abuse or problems or family struggles, and they're going to be here and they're going to be very susceptible. They're going to be easily attractable to someone who might offer companionship or an overnight stay. Can I just say this? Be known for your godliness. Would you write that down? Men, be known for your godliness. That you will protect the sisters. That you will guard them. Even when they don't know that they need to be guarded. That you'll love God enough, their father. and you will respect their father enough to care for them. Even if you had a daughter, you would want the one who's dating your daughter to respect you enough to care for her and protect her and guide her and guard her. And the same is true. These sisters have a father, and we want to respect their father so much that we don't take advantage nor defraud. Even though you can, do not, because it is a sign of respect to the Heavenly Father. And when that happens, you watch the Heavenly Father go to work for you. He will begin to open up doors that no one could have opened, shut doors that no one could have shut. He will start to fashion your future and your life. You know why? Because you have respected him to the point where you guard his daughters well. You protect them, you care for them well. And when you do it God's way, God will begin to bless you, and he will begin to cheerlead for you, and you watch what he does when he blesses you. Husbands, here's a distinctive quality that we find in Proverbs 31 that should describe each of us. Would you read Proverbs 31, 23? Go. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. To the gates, basically the places of influence. And what it's saying here is that we as men should be known for our influence, that we have a godly influence because we sit among the elders of the land, those who know how to appropriate and apply God's word. These are called elders. They don't just know it by knowledge, they have lived it, and there's an experience, a track record where people can look at their life and say they've lived the ways of God for many years. So it's not that they just talk a good talk. No, they have a track record that gives them credibility and credence. These are the elders of the land. And God is saying, men, I want you to become these kinds of people, that there's a wonderful track record of godliness, and you'll be known for your godliness. You say, well, how do we get this kind of godliness? Something we do for ourselves. We actually discipline it into ourselves. You see, I say to men, sometimes the only reason we don't sin is because we haven't had the opportunity yet to sin. But you will have that opportunity. But there needs to be an anchor of our soul on the inside that says, even though the opportunity is there, I will not take it because I respect my father and theirs. And you've got to discipline yourself for that. Let's read what it says here in the book of 1 Timothy. Go. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And ladies, when there is an inner beauty in your life that radiates even beyond your outer beauty, and there's a unfading beauty in your life, whatever age you are, there is a beauty to your life, and you're beautiful because you understand God's way and God's divine beauty secret, not the world's. And when you understand about serving God and stewarding money and not falling in love with it so much that it dictates what you buy, where you live, where you go, what you do with your life, what your future is, what your career is. No, God is the one that dictates that. I serve God, I steward money. And when you get that straight, and men, when we are known for our godliness, do you understand how much that will delight our Father? And when God looks at this church, we will not be on the way to being another desperate family. We'll be seen as God's family. And I can't think of a higher compliment to be paid us than when people look at us and see the fingerprints of God on our lives. Can you say amen to that? Amen. May it be so. May it be so. Let's stand together as we conclude. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing the doxology in Hawaiian. And we'll have the words up so you can join along with us. Let's bow our heads as we pray and conclude. Father, thank you so much for a wonderful ohana made up of men of God and women of beauty. Lord, we ask that you will help us to continue to grow, to be ambassadors for Christ, to understand how to serve God, to steward money, how to be known as men of godliness. and what it means to be a people with an inner beauty that does not ever fade. May we steward our outer beauty well, but may we build our inner beauty first. We thank you for these lessons, Lord. Weave them into our hearts as we delight our Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Desperate Housewives by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
We would like to offer you a copy of Pastor Wayne's book, Dream Releasers. It can be the GPS that will help you find your way from where you are to where you dream of being. For your gift of $10 or more, we will send you a copy of Dream Releasers. You can give online at lifejournal.cc. That's lifejournal.cc. Thank you, and God bless.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dale Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.